Okay, so today's daf is daf Tzadik Hey. We had already got up to the first third of the daf. However, it's because we're going to continue to be Isaac in this question, it's maybe prudent for us to do a little bit of a chazor and talk about what the halacha would be in a case where we are worried about assuring the achot ishto in a similar way to assuring a wife. And again, the way to look at it is, the Torah gives us an asymmetrical relationship of a male and a female. Man gets married, he now creates an isser on his wife to sleep with anybody else in the world. If she does, she becomes asura on him. At the same time, that marriage also creates a certain set of isurim on him. Since he's allowed to have another wife, they're limited isurim. However, there certainly are isurim that are created by the marriage, including, for instance, her sister. Because of his marriage, he cannot marry her sister. Now that means to the male, the sister of his wife is the equivalent of to the female, any other male. We know that we have a gezeira in the Mishnah, that in a case where a woman marries al pi beis din, and it turns out that her husband was actually alive, he shows up, so at that point we say that she's asura to the first guy, she's asura to the second guy, and she needs a get from both of them, and so on. The question that we've been discussing is, what about an equivalent case where a guy believes that his wife is dead? Equivalent case, in the inverse. He or she believed her husband was dead, she went and married another guy. In the exactly equivalent case, he believes his wife is dead, and therefore the people that were nesarot alav, the women that were nesarot alav as a result of the marriage, now become mutarot, because that's a very interesting case. The only case where we have a real parallel, because other arayot are permanently aser. Over here, the relationship of the wife's sister to him is very similar to the relationship of a male to his wife. So now that his wife is dead, he's allowed to marry his sister-in-law. And he goes ahead, thinking on the basis of the testimony that his wife had died, that it's okay to go marry his sister-in-law. He goes in and marries her, his wife shows up. 5 years later, same thing that happened in the Mishnah with the case of the male. So the question is, why should we not say that in the same way that the Torah assures a case where a woman would go ahead and would sleep with another man, she now becomes asura to her husband. Why would we not say that if a man goes ahead and sleeps with another woman, albeit there's only a couple of women that are like that, like his mother-in-law or his sister-in-law, but they to him are the equivalent of his sleeping with another woman, that is asura, so then exactly the same thing should happen to him. He should now become asur on his wife, which of course goes in both directions. The male becomes us, she becomes us, exactly the same case. So we were discussing this yesterday, and we learned it out. Let's just take a look again on the third line, on Tzadik. Since the Torah says, goes out of its way, and then she is Asura. Why does it say Ota? We've been discussing her the whole time. So the point over here is that only in the event that a female now has intercourse with a male who is Asura on her, so then she becomes Asura on her husband. But in an equivalent case where it's not ota, it would be rather a male that is sleeping with a female that is asura to him. In the case over here of his sister-in-law, there would be no equivalent isser. This we learn out from the stress on ota and not any other case. So where is now there an isser of shchivata or sarta? Where does this woman become asura on her husband? Only where she was the one who actually engaged in an illicit relationship, whether willing, whatever the case was, depending on the situation. Her sister's relationship with her husband will not answer her, which obviously means it will not answer him. If she's allowed to sleep with her husband, and her husband's allowed to sleep with her, all of these isurim are mutual, as we learned. Why would we have thought otherwise? Again, this is all reviewing yesterday, as we said. Valodinu. Actually, I mean, Mitzad Hasvora, it would make sense that she should be Asura because of the fact that her husband slept with her sister. Why? Because I would say like this. Uma b'makom shebo al iser kal, ne'esar ha'oser. Now this is going to be the trademark of this daf, and it's extremely important to get these words clear, because they're going to have applications in many different cases, and we're going to be struggling to understand what precisely this case is. But let us talk about the case as the Gemara ultimately comes to understand it, even though we're going to explore other possibilities. So as the Gemara ultimately comes to understand it, it reads like this. In a case where the only problem is a not such chomer iser, now it turns out that not such chomer iser is the iser of Eshet Ish. Why do we call it an iser kal? Why is it a light iser? because it's an iser which is up to you to cancel. A husband can cancel this iser. Simply by giving over a get. Usually, obviously, incestuous relationship can't be canceled. Give a piece of paper and I'll go sleep with your mother. I hereby divorce you from being my mother. Right? But that can't be. We'd like it to be maybe sometimes, but it can't be. You can't choose your relatives. But you can choose your wife. So over there we have an Isser Kal. And that's why we're going to end up calling it Isser Kal. Initially the Gemara doesn't know this, but this is the pshat in the end. So let's examine LP the end. So if someone now sleeps with a relatively light Isser, an Ashes Ish, what happens is that because of that, the one who created the Isser, the Oser, who is the Oser? Her husband. So in violating an Isser that was created by somebody else, the Oser that created that Isser becomes Oser because of its violation. So the Baal, who was the Oser, becomes now Asur. Makom Shabal Isur Chamur, in a case where a man now sleeps with his wife's sister. Who is the Oser in this case? His wife. His wife created the Yisr on her own sister to him, precisely as he ossers other men on her when he marries her. That is a parallel, correct? So certainly, isn't it a Kal Vachomer? Eino din shene'esar ha'oser. So now in the violation of that relationship by his sleeping with her sister, so now the one who was the Oser, namely the wife, should now become Asura on him. That would be now the parallel, and it's even a Kal Vachomer, because even a more Chomer Yisr. Since you can't cancel the Yisr of Achot Isha by giving a get, Achot Isha only becomes muteris with the death of his wife. That's generally not in your hands unless you're an Italian. So Memela, what we say over here is that if it wouldn't be for that pasuk, for otash kivatao sarta, the inch kivata hutao sarta, then I would have been left by being forced to this Kal Vachomer to say, look, it's got to be that it works parallelly, that in a case where he violates the Yisr that she created, then she becomes a Asur on him, in exactly the same way that when she violates the Yisr that he created, he becomes a Asur on her. Beautiful. It's a whole different way of looking at the whole sugya of marriage. We generally think there's two different issues. In other words, we naturally think, okay, there's the issue of marriage and the Yisr qua marriage. But we look at the Achot Isha or the Chamuto, even though in a sense through marriage, but we don't look at it as an Isser that is a marriage Isser. That's the equivalent. This is an absolutely beautiful way of looking at it. Nonetheless, the Torah says, don't look at it that way in terms of creating Isserim through this Kal Vachomer. Good. Now, what about the mother-in-law? Because a mother-in-law is exactly the same situation. We didn't talk about it. We talked about Ein Shivat Achuta Osarta Zatavka Achuta Zat Ein Shivat Chamuta. I mean, that's... Oh, comes along now the Gemara to speak about the broader implications of this concept. Omer Yehuda, lo nechlekul bet Shemayu bet Hillel bebal chamoto sheposelet ishto. It's absolutely clear to me, this is brand new, that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai together agree that someone who sleeps with his mother-in-law assers his wife on him. Amazing. Alma nechlekul, the only machlokus that we find, is bebal achot ishto. It's the case that we've been discussing. That indeed is a machlokus bet Shammai bet Hillel, she bet Shammai omrim posel. Beit Shammai holds that it does passel based on the Kal Vachomer that we just said, and he doesn't darsh in the pasuk of Otam. And Beit Hillel omrim lo posel, says Rav Yossi, nonsense. There's no such thing. Lo nechleku Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel bebal achot ishto shelo posel et ishto. There is no such machlokas. Nobody holds that someone who sleeps with his sister-in-law assers his wife on him. Everybody agrees that there is an Otam, that only Otah shrivat ha'osata and not shrivat Achuta, certainly not Osarta. So where's their machlokas? The other way around. There is a machlokas about a case where someone was Baal Hamoto. So if he sleeps with his mother-in-law over there, Beit Shammai Omrim Posel, U Beit Hillel Omrim Lo Posel. So there we do have a machlokas the other way around from the way you said it. And, again, the Posel over there would be the same Kal Vachomer, because, again, the Chamoto is an Isur Chamur that can't be canceled, and it's an Isur Erva, and now we have the Kal Vachomer. If when she marries now him, he answers her on the whole world, and when she sleeps with someone else, answers him on her. So when he now becomes Asur because of her on his mother-in-law, and he sleeps with his mother-in-law, so now she becomes Asur on him. That precise parallel. That Beit Shammai darshins. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, you cannot say that. Look, here's how to look at it. Lefisha betchila, let's view the parallel. Initially, hu mutar b'kol anashim sheba'olam, vi mutar b'kol anashim sheba'olam. Okay, let's start off now with a nice, pristine, blank slate in which we have an unmarried male and an unmarried female. He can take any female that he wants, she can take any male that she wants. Okay. We go ahead now, and he gives her kiddushin. The moment he gives her kiddushin, kitsha, so now what happens is, hu osra v'yasarto. He ushers her on certain people, and she ushers him on certain people. So there's now a parallel. Now, Meruba Isur Sha'asra, Isur Sha'asar Tehu. Obviously, there is more Isur that he creates on her than she creates on him. Because look, when he gives a woman Kedushin, Hu Osra B'chol Anashim Sheba'olam, everyone else in the world is prohibited from sleeping with her. V'yilo Asarato Ela B'krovoteha. Whereas the impact of her relationship with him and accepting the Kedushin ushers him only on the particular list of the Krovim, her child, son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, through daughter, through son, mother-in-law, grandmother-in-law, and sister. Okay. That's a smaller group, obviously. Now, think about this for a minute. Isn't it a kal v'chomer? If Mahush Asra b'chol anashim sheba'olam, he ushered her on the whole world, right? She goes ahead now and makes a mistake and sleeps with someone in error. So she's got two witnesses. The witness says her husband died. So she thinks everything's fine. It's been 5 years. The guy hasn't shown up. She goes now and she sleeps with somebody. She's not doing anything wrong. If he turns up in that case, what's the halacha? Shigaga in an aseret b'mutarla. She does not become asura now in the husband that was previously mutter to her, correct? So now, in the other case, she only asked him in a few women. If he sleeps with those women, let's say the sister-in-law or the mother-in-law, by accident, also waits 5 years for his wife to return, witness to say she went down with the ship, whatever the case is, he knows that she's dead, he goes ahead and he marries perfectly the heter, the krovot that became asurot to him through the initial marriage, the shogeg. So, ain't no din shalom nesar lo b'mutar lo. I mean, obviously now, there's no basis to think that he should become now usher in the woman who was mutar stand before. Certainly less of a reason to think that she would. So therefore, nobody in his right mind is going to tell you that if he sleeps with a sister-in-law, b'shogeg, that now he's not allowed to sleep with his wife. That's off the wall. That's the first step, okay? Zad in l'shogeg. Okay, so far all I've proven to you is what that look is by a shogeg. Now, you'll say, okay, fine. But when it comes to a mazid, how are you going to show me that it's true about a mazid? Because by the case of the mazid, the halacha is that she's a surah. So then, by the same token, the halacha would be that he is asur on her, his wife, if he slept with the women that his wife asked him to sleep with through the marriage. How do I know that that's not true? Oh, when it comes to the mazid minayin, that I need the pasuk. Tamud lomar ota, ota shkivata osarta, ve'en shkivata chuta osarta. So now we come around full circle to see what the particular case is where we would need the pasuk. Indeed, it's not the case of shogeg, it's the case of mazid, and now everything, thank you, everything makes sense. Om Rebami Omar Eish Lakish. I know it strikes you when Rabbi Yehuda was quoting over there, disputed to my focus, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, about the case of Chamoto and so on. And then, I mean, he was saying that everybody agrees, Chamoto. We were saying there's a machlokas of Chamoto. But where do we get the idea that Chamoto is worse? I don't get it. I mean, everything that we've discussed now is a direct application to all of the women that became Asura, whether it's the sister-in-law, whether it's the mother-in-law, and what's, understand what the difference is. Either we darshan otar, or we don't darshan otar. I want to explain it to you. You know what the logic is in the position of Rabbi Yehuda, that both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel hold, that when it comes to a mother-in-law, she's Asura? I'll tell you. It says in the pasuk that Ish asher yikach et ishav et ima zimahi be'esh yisrafu. This is absolutely crazy. Oto ve'et hen, burn him and burn them. Now, who's the them? As we saw yesterday, we're going to now his poor wife. Little does she know what he's going down there for to visit the mother-in-law. Ah. So now we're going to take her out and we're going to burn her. Ah, it shouldn't have been his wife. What are we giving her an onesh for? She was being taken advantage of, right? So what is that supposed to be? What are we doing over here? We're burning down the home? We're saying, okay, these guys don't deserve to live. You see a raging mob coming with the torches and burning them. That's for sure. So what's the Torah talking about over here? So obviously it can't mean that we're going to burn them down. But there's metaphorical burning. It means, like we say, you burn your bridges. That's the chat. So he, over here, we say we indeed burn their bridges. He can't go back to his wife. That's the point. Im eno inyan nesreifah. It doesn't mean literally that there's an onish on the wife. But what it means is that he loses his wife. That's the point. He can no longer go back to his wife. Tneu inyan leisura. So what it means is that, of course, those who were involved in the actual intercourse of Erva, they are punished with the Chiyav Misa. Those who were the victims, nonetheless, he's not allowed to go back to them. So this tells us, and this is Dafka, the case of Chamoto, it's not the case of Achuta. So the Achuta in Achinami over there, you could question Bechama, Bechila, whether we darshan, the pasuk of Otashki, Vata, Osarta, Vain Shkivat, the Achuta, Osarta. When it comes to Chamotos, it's Rabbi Yehuda. That's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Etan at least has to mean Isser, even if it doesn't mean Onesh.
He's been killed, though. I think that's a.
He's not always killed. You need Adam, you need Asra. What do you mean he's killed? But meanwhile, it's telling you that, look, the chances of his being killed are one in a trillion. Nobody ever gets killed. This is all theory, killing.
Neither the mother-in-law nor him.
What?
Neither the mother-in-law nor him get burnt.
In what? In normal cases? What are the chances that the guy is going to get Chayim Nisi? You're going to be Chayim Nisi, you have to say, yeah, I want you to kill me. You have to be Mekabel Asra. You have to have Adam that are going to stand up to cross-examination in Beis Din. So tell me, what color polka dots was she wearing? I mean, come on, that's not the point. But what's important to us is that there's an Isser. We're not talking about Adam, we're saying that Lamaisin, there is telling us that in a case where we know that he went ahead and slept with his mother-in-law, he can't marry, can't take his wife back, that's all. What? No, that's the chorus. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, in halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So now Shmuel says, okay, that's what he learns for the pasuk, but we don't paskin like that, and we saw earlier that indeed we have other things to learn out of this pasuk, and we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Now there was actually a maisa, there was a guy who was found sleeping with his mother-in-law, and Aite Rabbi Yehuda Nagde. Rabbi Yehuda, of course, was generations after Rabbi Yehuda, not to be confused over here. So Rabbi Yehuda brought him into Beis Din and beat him up, gave him malchus, the rabbonim. Omar Lay, and he said to him, Yilav Domer Shmuel, Ein Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, if it hadn't been that Shmuel paskined, not like Rabbi Yehuda, I would have really taken care of you, because I would have ushered your wife on you. You realize what you're doing, what you're taking chances on over here? You could have lost your whole life. So, Asirita Allah Isur Dialm, if it hadn't been for Shmuel, I would have paskined like Rabbi Yehuda. I would have said, you violated the relationship with your wife, you should never go back to her. Okay. So now we have an understanding of the different approaches over here. We have, on the one hand, the Kal V'Chomer, the direction to Aser, from the Iser Kal Iser Chomer. We have, on the other hand, a Limud to Heter from a Kal V'Chomer, in the case of Shogeg. We have a Pasuk to talk about a case of Mezid that deals with Achot Ishto. And we have also the Svara of Otov Ve'Eten, Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. Those, so far, are the factors we need to take into consideration. Now, we did not understand very clearly initially. What was this Kal V'Chomer about an Isser Kal? What exactly was the Isser Kal that we were talking about? It does not occur to this Gemara at this point, just as our president was very upset about yesterday, that we would be calling Eshet Ish an Isser Kal. How would we call Eshet Ish an Isser Kal? Why would it be an Isser Kal? Okay. So therefore, we want to understand, what is it referring to? My Isser Kal. You're bringing a Kal V'Chomer from the Isser Kal. Tell me the case of where it is that an Isser Kal creates an Isser on the Oser. That's what we're looking for, right? Person who created the Isser becomes Osir because of the violation of the Isser. Fascinating concept. So we saw, okay, obviously we know the concept. We know that a man who creates an Isser on a woman becomes Osir on that woman in the violation of the Isser that he created, even though it has nothing to do with him. So we understand the concept, but I mean, that it's no basis for Kal V'Chomer because it's not an Isser Kal. So what exactly would be the Isser Kal? Omer Chista, I'll tell you the Isser Kal. The Isser Kal is like this. Marzir Grushato Mishinisait. Guy goes ahead, divorces his wife, and then she gets married to somebody else. He takes her back after she was divorced. Okay, now that's called an Isser Kal because it's only an Isser Lav. So in comparison to the Isser Erva that we've been talking about, we're talking about an Isser Kal. Now, here's what I say it means. If he now goes, divorces his wife, she gets married to somebody else, he takes her back, he was over on an Isser, right? But the thing is, she now cannot go back to the other guy because now she had slept with him. Is that true? So you got two people who were married to a woman. He violated the one who ushered her on him, which was the second guy. Second guy now created an Isser on him. Not an Isser of Eshes Ish. She's no longer married. He gave her a get. But the moment that he sleeps with her, she can no longer go back to the second guy. Correct? Now, this is a very interesting thing. So the first guy sleeps with her and takes her back. He did now an Isser Kal, right? But in doing that Isser Kal, he has now ushered her on the guy that ushered her to him. Fine. Very nice. Okay. But the bottom line is that we see... What are you laughing about? Exactly. It works in both directions. She became asura to the first husband because of what the second husband did. Right? But by the same token, if she goes back to this guy who ushered her on him by marrying her after she had been married to him by an Isser Kal, so now he ushers her on going back to him. So we've seen the violation of the Isser HaKal, which was Marzer Grushasa, to the second guy, in violation of it, the second guy can no longer take her back. Ah! Okay, so that's the case. And here's how to read it, okay? The Issachar is Marzer Grushoso Mishanisei. Now here's what happens. Bo Aleha Hai, the moment that the second guy sleeps with her, she now becomes Asra Aleha Dahai. He now asks her on the first guy. Okay. Now, Bo Aleha Idach, the first guy now goes and sleeps with the Be'isser, violating the Isser that the other guy created, and now Asra Aleha Dahai. He now creates an Isser for the guy who had made the Isser by being over on the Isser.
This is the first guy.
The first guy created an Isser on the second guy by being over on the Isser that the second guy created on him.
All
right. Okay? Come on, man. You can't use that as a kalvachomer. That doesn't add up at all. But you're trying to use that as a raya that in a case where he went ahead now and he sleeps with his wife's sister who was ne'eseret alav because of his wife, that therefore should be also on the wife. You're saying the wife should be asur on him because she created an Isser. It's not similar at all, first of all. I mean, there's many reasons not similar. Let me show you why it's not similar, okay? Amarze grushato, something happened to her. When he sleeps with his sister-in-law, nothing happened to his wife. What you're trying to do is you're trying to say another relationship should now destroy his ability to sleep with a person who was unaffected physically but was defined by the relationship. That's what you're trying to bring a riot to, right? Marzer Grushoso herself engaged in that intercourse. I mean, obviously the person themselves may be affected by the act of intercourse. What we're trying to show is that the relationship creates an issue. So you're telling me, I go ahead and sleep with another woman who is her sister, she becomes Asura. I'm going to bring you a Kal Vachomer, because if I sleep with her, well, of course, if you sleep with her, then she becomes Asura, okay? That's obvious. I mean, the Torah is full of cases where a person is affected personally by the creation of the Yisr through the other. Obviously, a woman becomes a Chalala, but a woman becomes a Grusha, a woman becomes an Amana. These are all dinim that affect her, because that's what she is. So by Amarza Grushato, it affected her body. She came needs Mahaguf. So first of all, her own self is affected, not a relationship. So well, how can we arrive at that? Furthermore, Isuraburov. Look, Tosus understands. Rashi doesn't have these words. Tosus understands the question is this. Anybody that would have slept her would have done the same thing. It has nothing to do with him. He was the one, since he had been married to her before, therefore he now is created. It's nothing to do with that. Anyone in the whole world that would have slept with her after she had been married to guy number two would have made it impossible for her to go back to guy number two. Right? Nothing personal about this, my friend. Okay, so if that's the case, then it's a general issue that cannot be looked at in a very specific case where the only one that would create a problem is him and his sister-in-law. How do you compare that to a case where the whole world will create this problem? I mean, maybe in a specific, unique situation of a man and his sister-in-law, I don't know the Torah is going to be machped on it the way it would be machped where it's giving me a universal idea. That's a shot. Furthermore, Isura, Isur Olam. There's no way to get out of this issue. Once a woman becomes Asura as a Niseit Lahachar after Gerushin, there is no way to cancel that Isur, ever. Masha'inken, when it comes to the Isur of Achot Ishto, as soon as his wife dies, the Yisr disappears. So again, you're learning out a Kal thing. Not a Chomer thing. You're learning out a Kal thing three ways. It's more Kal than the case that you're claiming is the case that's Kal that you're going to learn a Kal Chomer to. If you can't learn a Kal Chomer, it's backwards. That can't be what he meant. For sure that's not what he meant. Forget about that case. Says Rishon Tzion, no. You're right. Of course, I got a better case for you. Here's the case. The case is the case of the Yavama. Oh, that's a big help. Yavama to whom? Yavama could mean to anybody. Yavama to Shuk, Yavama to the brothers, Yavama after you, before you, but with my, which Yavama? I mean, once we've been through this Masechta, we know that that's about the most ambiguous term we could possibly use. A Yavama. Okay, so the Gemara, well, what are you talking about? A Yavama the man. So maybe you're saying like this, okay. A Yavama who sleeps with another guy before she gets, now, you. She's a surah, at least a little bit of Rav Amnuna, remember? Rav Amnuna Shita was, the same way that an Eishes Ish becomes a surah, she sleeps with somebody else, her husband. A Yavama becomes a surah if she sleeps with somebody else. Okay, so maybe that's what you mean. So, Ilema la'achar to Rav Amnuna. The Omer Rav Amnuna shomeret Yavam shezinta. She hasn't gotten Yibam yet. She's waiting now for Yibam from her Yavama, and she goes to sleep with somebody else. She is Asura liyibma. So she cannot, she's now the Yavama, is not allowed, her Yavam is not allowed to marry her. Okay, so that means he was the one who asked her, right? It's his presence, and the Zika of the Yibam that he creates that asked her to marry anybody else. In the violation of that Isser, what happens? He now becomes Asura to marry her. So that's the Isser Kal. And that's only Isser Lav. So Kol Shekein, an Isser, Erva, Bachot, Ishto, whoa. For sure that's going to create an Isser if the relationship is violated. It's going to create an Isser on the ones who created the Isser in the first place. That's a good thing. How about that? Is that the pshat? No. That's not a good pshat at all. For exactly the same reason. In the case of a Yavam Lashuk, the woman who is Asur on him is the woman that had the Isser. She was the one who went through the intercourse of Isser, not a relationship that is affecting her. I can bring a raya from there. Furthermore, a Yavam Lashuk is Asura to anybody in the whole world. It's a universal Isser, exactly as we asked before. Anyone that would have married her would have asked her. What does that have to do? Nothing personal. So maybe over there, fine. Maybe over there, indeed, the Torah is marked more. So Mali Yavamish came into Maguv. That's not a good case. Okay, so that can't be what Rish Lakish meant. I mean, Rish Lakish never would have suggested a case that has as many problems as the case that he was coming to replace of Magzik Grushato, or almost as many problems. Forget about that. But what did he mean? He must have meant like this. He meant that Yavama, who becomes Asura to the brothers, okay? Case being, there's more than one Yavam. The Yavam that wants her goes ahead and gives her a minor. Now, minor is Kedushin Drabbanan. In giving her Mama, he asks her on the brothers now. So none of the other brothers are allowed to do Yivam, okay? So Avad B'Ma'amar, Hai, Asar Le'Dahar. Brother number one does Maimer, brother number two now is not allowed to take her as Yivam, correct? Okay. The moment that brother number two now sleeps with her, after there was a Maimer, Asar Le'Dahar. So now, the first brother is not allowed to take her as Yivam, because now he went ahead and took her as Yivam. The mimer doesn't prevent his bia from answering her on him, on the first guy. What does this have to do with anything? I mean, that is, it's not because of the fact that he slept with her. We're trying to discover cases where intercourse is a violation of a relationship, and therefore bring a raya that intercourse with an achot ishto is a violation of the relationship that was created with the marriage and answers the isha. The case of the imam has nothing to do with intercourse, my friend. It's just an accident that it happened to be intercourse. Well, there's plenty of ways where you can answer her. What if the second brother gives Mimer? The second brother just gives Mimer. Second brother gives Mimer. So, my Irish Abale Al-Shani, why do we have to talk about a case where he sleeps with her? Afilu Obad Banami Mama. If two brothers give Mama, neither of them are allowed to take her. So there's nothing to do with the violation of the relationship. Because we had this before in Machlokas, that the Rabbonim created a sense of Mamar that wherever a Zika is loosened for one of the brothers, the other one can't have it. So that was in Machlokas. It's like, okay, hello, Kasha. Maybe it's going like Rav Gamliel holds Ein Mamar Achar Mamar. Remember, that was in Machlokas. Yesh Mamar Achar, Ein Mamar Achar Mamar. That's not a Kasha. Okay, you know, what will you? You avoided one kasha, so you want me to throw another 10 kashas at you? You know perfectly well that the issue of the Yavama to the brothers has nothing to do with the fact that he sleeps with her. It has to do with the weakening of the Zika. There's lots of ways you can weaken the Zika. Give her a get. Second brother gives her a get. Okay, yesh get achar ma'amar. Yeah. So he gives her a get. Second brother gives her a get. So the Yavama gives her a get after the first brother gives her a ma'amar. Neither brother can take her now. So what does this have to do with sleeping with someone? It happens to be that you can weaken Zika in various ways. You can weaken Zika to another by giving minor. You can weaken Zika by giving a get. You can weaken Zika, remove Zika by giving chalitza. You can remove Zika by actually taking your Zika as a Yavama. But the point is that what happened over here to Asar on the brother was not an Isser that had to do with your sleeping with the woman. It was simply the fact that he no longer has a Zika that allows him to marry her. So this case makes no sense at all. So because Afil Natan Laget or Afil Chalatza would have been exactly the same thing. So Reish Lakish has no case. Forget about it. All right, so what are we talking about? It says, I got it. Case is a sota, okay? A sota to whom? To the husband or a sota vis-a-vis the guy who was sleeping with her, or perhaps was sleeping with her. So sota l'man. Ilayman l'ba'al. So what are you saying exactly? The woman is a sota. In order for the husband now to be able to take her back, he needs to take her to Yerushalayim and give her an esota. If he sleeps with her, and he can no longer give her, he has to be menuka miyava. Since the Torah says, well, you're not allowed to sleep with your wife after she already was in hysterics with somebody, until you find out whether she had slept with her if you gave her kinui. Okay? During the period in which it isn't clear whether this guy, the guy, the putative lover, was actually a lover, he becomes asur on her. Because we learn out from the pasuk that there's an isra on the Baal and there's an isra on the Bo'el. When the husband now goes ahead, gives her the mesota, and at that point it is discovered that she never slept with this guy, so at that point he's like anybody else. If the husband dies, he can marry her, and there's no isra anymore. It's, I'm innocent. The Mayim showed that I was innocent. Okay. Now what happens is a very interesting thing. the Boel ushered the woman on the Baal, right?
I think he would have slept with her.
No, in the current circumstances, by being mysterious with him. Just the mysterious was in. At this point, he's not allowed to sleep with her. Okay. If the Baal now goes ahead and violates that Isser that was created by the Boel, and he sleeps with his wife, what happens? He can no longer be Mashke's wife, and now the Boel becomes us. So, you see that the guy who creates the Isser becomes permanently maimed by the violation of that Isser. There you go. There's your Kal v'chomer. And it's not an Isser Chomer for a guy, it's an Isser Lav. For a guy to take his own wife after, instead of taking her to Yerushalayim, he sleeps with her on the way. Okay, so he was over this, he was supposed to go ahead and take her, not sleep with her, but he slept with her. So now, we have a perfect example of a case where someone asked a woman, and he becomes now destroyed by the very violation of the Isser that he created, despite the fact that he never does anything there. She sleeps with somebody else, because in this case, somebody else was a real husband. But that's irrelevant to the argument. So we got a great argument. Huh? Maybe that's what Rabbi Yochanan means. No. Because there, again, it has nothing to do with intercourse. It just has to do with the fact that he's not going to be able to give her the water. Right? That's the thing. It's incidental to the fact that he slept with her. So since I went ahead and slept with her, I can no longer bring her to Yerushalayim and give her the water. In which case, we can no longer prove this guy's innocence. Right? So I don't need to sleep with her to create that Isser. What I can do is I can give her a get. I can say, you know what? I don't even want to try. I'm divorcing her. Okay, now what's the status of the putative Boel? He's permanently ruined. Because since we can never prove that he's innocent, the Torah created an Isser on the relationship from him to her. So this has something to do with intercourse. So it's not a very good raya at all. It's irrelevant that he slept with her. Well, you know what he could have done? He could have said, okay, I am never going to give the water to this woman. Forget about it. He didn't give her a get. That itself is enough to create a situation in which there's no way to be matir her to the Boel. So then there's nothing else. So afilo natan laget, or afilo amar inani mashka. So that can't be the case. Okay? So maybe what Rabbi Yochanan meant is the other way around. A sota meaning a woman who violated a marriage by going ahead now and sleeping with another guy now becomes a surah on her husband. Oh, that's not an Isser Kal. I mean, that's an Isser Chomer. I mean, that's terrible. And Isser Eshes Ish, and Isser Chenek, you're calling it an Isser Kal? How's an Isser Kal? That's Isser Chomer. Dino Eshes Ish. You're talking about an Eshes Ish. You're calling it an Eshes Ish. An Isser Kal. I don't understand the logic. Elohim HaRava says, yeah. It's Eshes Ish. Let's not put any veils over it now and call it Saita. We're talking about an Eshes Ish. An Eshes Ish went ahead and sleeps with somebody else. She becomes now, to the husband, Asura. He's the one who asked her, and yet he's the one who becomes Asur. So you ask me, how can I call that an Isser Kal? V'chein ki Asur Rav and Rav Yehoshua said Eshes Ish. My Karela Isser Kal, She'in HaOsra, Osra Ko Yamav. The reason that we call it an Isser Kal is simply because it is possible to remove that Isser. Give a get. So in that sense, it's more Kal than Achot Ishto. Because Achot Ishto doesn't have to give a get. Achot Ishto is a permanent problem. And therefore, in that sense, it's Kal. Tanya Nami Hochi, and indeed it says clearly the Brice, like Asabachon and Amar Mishum Rabbi Lazar, Eishes Ish. And here's how to understand it. Uma b'makom habal Isser Kal. Meaning, She'en HaOsra Osra Ko Yamav. So Unibrisa says, Beferish, why are we calling it an Isser Kal? Because it's not a permanent Isser. Nonetheless, Ne'esara Oser, the Baal, who is the one who created the Isser on the woman from sleeping with the other guy that she now went ahead and slept with, he is the one that is affected by the violation of the very relationship that he created that answered her. Habal Isser Chamur, we're over there, Osra Osra Ko Yamav. Someone who sleeps with his sister-in-law, where over there the wife who created the Isser permanently as long as she lives, and can never remove it with any piece of paper. So over there, so I would say, isn't it obvious that the wife who created the Isser would be affected adversely by the violation of that Isser, would rebound on her, that now she cannot be a wife to this man who slept with her sister? Talmud Lomar continues the Braisa. Talmud Lomar, Ota Shivata Osarta, Ve'en Shivata Achuta Osarta. So now it all becomes very clear. This is the way we understood it. L'chatchila, we looked for alternatives. Didn't we? Were very hesitant, just as our president was hesitant, to accept that an Isser Kal would be a reference to Eishes Ish. We went through the alternatives. The alternatives simply didn't make sense. And we were stuck with an approach that turned out to be the right approach, because we found the bright that it said Beferish. That is the correct approach.
Just also within the call of the chomer mole, like we just sort of only looked in there. There's another way to look at the situation there.
Does this discuss a bit of a disparity? Okay, the next piece that we had that was also very ambiguous was Rabbi Yosef. Let's turn back again. Take a look at the original Maimer, where Rabbi Yossi says, in Tzadik Dalet on the base, in this last part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says rather inexplicably that kol sheposel al yedei achirim, posel al yedei atzmo. Kol sheino posel al yedei achirim, eino posel al yedei atzmo. On the surface, these words don't even make any sense. Well, who apostles somebody else? We understand already, the apostles of the Mishnah was simply a sister, a wife goes overseas, he hears that she dies, he marries, and that's all that we know about. Nobody was asking anybody on anybody. We know what Rabbi Yossi was talking about. However, we peeked ahead, basically, earlier, and we understood that clearly, because of Rabbi Yossi's statement, we've got to be talking about a case where someone someone else was involved. What would be a case where someone else was involved? So what happened is, his wife and his brother-in-law, his wife's sister's husband, had gone together on a business trip, and word had come back that the two of them were killed in an automobile crash. That was the case. So then, when now they both come back, oh, now we've got some interesting situations over here. Because it's all very nice to say that his wife doesn't become a surah to him because of otah, right? But over here, the same woman that he took is not only his wife's sister, it's also his brother-in-law's wife. I mean, let's not forget about that. So the same woman became Asura on her husband, the brother-in-law, right? Now, Rabbi Yossi is trying to obviously make a distinction and say, now, wait, hold on a second. If this very woman becomes Asura on her husband, so then she should also Asur his wife on him. That's what he seems to be saying. So again, it's still ambiguous, but at least we're beginning to zero in on it. The case has got to be more complex than we thought in order for Rabbi Yossi's words to make any sense at all. So says the Gemara, Maika Amar Rabbi Yossi. Can we try to understand what Rabbi Yossi is talking about? Look, the simple way of understanding this is that obviously the Tanakama must have been talking about a case where not only his wife's sister went overseas, went overseas and he married the sister-in-law, but his wife went overseas together with his brother-in-law. That must be the case. So Azal Ishtov Gisol Levidinat Hayam. So in this case, the Rabbanan say, look, it's true, vis-a-vis her husband, the wife's sister, vis-a-vis her own husband. Well, obviously, she's Asura, like any woman who got married to another guy thinking that it was Mutter. Well, it's not Mutter. And it turns out now she loses both and so on, so she loses her husband. So, but his wife is nonetheless Mutera to him because he only slept with the sister. Comes along now Rabbi Yossi to say, no, now wait a minute. You can't have it both ways. I would say that the Eich of the Sharia, in the same way the Ishto Sharia, Eishet Kisonami Sharia. What we ought to do is we ought to look at this in a more gentle fashion. We should say, look, are you ready to say that this guy's wife is Muteret? So then this guy's wife should be Muteret on him. If your wife is Muteret on you, then your brother-in-law's wife should be Muteret on him. Maybe that's what he's saying. Now, the language is obviously not, the language is completely wrong. Because Ihachi, what's Rabbi Yossi saying? No, if he doesn't pass on other people, he doesn't pass it for himself. But he should say just the opposite. One who doesn't pass on his own life, meaning he didn't pass on his own wife, can't pass on a woman for another guy. That's what he should have said. Wouldn't be able to pass on that woman on her husband, namely on his brother-in-law. Instead, Rabbi Yossi is exactly the other lashon. Rabbi Yossi begins with the impact on the other. That doesn't make any sense. If the argument was, if I can't impact my own marriage by doing this, how can I impact another guy's marriage by doing this? But that's not what Rabbi Yossi said. So, kol she'ein posel ha'yedei atzmo, eino posel ha'yedei achirim yivoyleh. What Rabbi Yossi should have said, if he meant what we think he meant, was exactly the opposite. Okay, so then what he's saying is exactly the opposite. Maybe what he's saying is, ela ki eicha de eshet yiso asira, in the same way that this woman is asura on the brother-in-law, so therefore, asira ishto nami asira. So then his own wife should also be, in this case, Asura. That's the pshat. Because once you're going to say that this marriage is a marriage to Asur her on her husband, so then in the same way, it's considered to be looked at as if he was actually married to her. But if he was actually married to her, and now that means he's going to need a get min hasheni. I mean, what is it? He was actually married to her? If he's actually married to her, so then we have the same problem. Because now his wife, his real wife, is looked at by everybody as being achot ishto. No, they all see him married to the other woman. And we're going to get into that, how we could make a mistake like that. But we'll see. But the Pashtus, that's what we're saying. Once we're going to consider this marriage to be real, real enough now to answer her on the husband and say she's no longer allowed to go back to her husband, so we should answer now her sister on her own husband, because now the sister appears to be the sister of the wife instead of being the actual original wife, right? Maybe that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. But let's assume for a moment that is what he's saying, okay? It would only explain half of his statement. Isn't that true? Gentlemen, are we on the same page so far? Okay? The woman, his sister-in-law, is also someone's wife. It's his wife's sister, but it's also another man's wife, and his wife is that man's wife's sister. Okay? So now, we're saying, he slept with his brother-in-law's wife, who was his wife's sister, and we're going to view that as an actual marriage, and we're going to say, well, you can't go back to your husband. You were married to this other guy. That's how we're looking at it. We're going to view it like that. Well, I mean, if we're viewing it as if she was actually married to the other guy, so then she becomes his wife, and his own wife is now the sister of his wife. At least the way people are going to look at it. So Rabbi Yossi is saying, okay, so let's answer her if she looks like the sister of his wife.
Answer to which one?
His wife, his own wife, is wife. Now the sister of the putative wife that people think is a wife.
Okay.
So now he can't go back to her. Maybe that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Again, the mechanism for this remains still up in the air. We're going to get to it. But that only explains half of the statement. Ho tenach kol sheposel. Okay, that explains the first part. Kol sheposel ayedei achirim. That, yes. Kol sheposel ayedei achirim. He's going to posel for himself. But what is the meaning of the other half of the statement? Kol sheino posel ayedei achirim. Eino posel ayedei atzmo. Where's that case? What's Rabbi Yossi responding to and saying, but if he doesn't posel it for somebody else, then he doesn't posel it for himself. Referring to what case? I mean, referring to case where what? Where there is no geese? In other words, Stam? His wife went overseas. The woman wasn't married, the wife's sister. She was unmarried. Is that what it's referring to? Well, in that case, I agree with you. I mean, as Tosis explains, the language of Eino posel ayedei achirim implies there's another guy there to posel, but he didn't. Not there is no other guy. So what case would they be referring to? Where is there a case where there is another guy to posel, namely a geese, and for some reason you will not have ushered the woman on your brother-in-law? So something is still missing here. Omer Rabami. Rabami says, well, there's a way to understand. The way to understand is like this. When it says kosha in oposel, it's talking about, because you know you're being a little simplistic about this, gentlemen. There's two ways for a woman to get married. One is with Aiden. Now, if she gets married with Aiden, so then we say that, at least Talib and Rabbi Shimon, she's allowed to go back to him because she's considered to be the equivalent of Anu. So we don't have the Ma'ab, we say Ma'ab Ilalam, about what she's supposed to do. She just followed the witnesses, right? Then there's the case where she gets married Alpi Bezdin on the basis of an Aid Echad. Over there we got a problem. You're lumping the whole thing together. That's what you're doing. You're lumping the whole thing together. You talked about a case. You didn't even qualify the case. You spoke about a case, and you said, well, it doesn't matter. He heard that his sister-in-law died, that his wife died. He married the sister-in-law. And so, what was the case? Well, with one way, with two aid, and I mean, do we know that it's talking about a case where necessarily she became asura on her husband? Maybe not. Maybe she slept with him on the basis of two witnesses that her husband had died. Hmm? And over there, he did not asura on her husband. Only the Rebbe Shimon. How come nobody thought about that? That's what he's referring to, says Rabbi. That's the whole point. He's going back now. Rabbi Yossi is going back to the ratio of the mission. Okay, that's what he's saying. So he's saying like this. Where do I mean where Eino Posel? Eino Posel is referring to the case where she got married al pi Aiden. Okay, so over there where she gets married al pi Aiden, she's allowed to go back to her husband. Right? Now the last part of the mission, which says that Achar Kach Bas Yishto Muteres Lachzor Lo. Okay, so over there, what was the basis? Al pi Aiden. Who told him that your wife died? So if Alpi Aiden, who told him wife died, and it turns out that she didn't die, then the woman that he married, thinking that his wife was dead, namely his sister-in-law, is then allowed to go back to her husband, isn't she? Because the end of the mission is a reference to a case where she got married Alpi Aiden. And only with Rabbi Shimon, she's allowed to go back to her husband. The ratio of the mission. Oh, the ratio of the mission was talking about whether we got married on the basis of one witness. Oh, now we're talking. So that's what Rabbi Yossi is qualifying over here. He's going back on the first part of the mission. The first part of the mission distinguished between Niseit al-Pi Beit Din. So sit over there. Teitzei uptura min ha-korban. Al-Pi Eidim, teitzei v'chayeves b'korban. Yofa kochor shal Beit Din shepatura min ha-korban. Now, obviously, this is not the specific piece that it's going back on, because this piece relates to korban, and we don't care about korban. But this is the only place where the Mishnah actually addresses the difference between Yitzhak Yehid and Yitzhak Yehid openly, right? And because of that, we use it as the simon for that distinction. So we're saying, coming off of that first Mishnah, which had ended with the idea of the difference between relying on Besdin or relying on Aden. That's where Rav Yossi is referring to. And then you start this new Mishnah about his wife goes, Lomidina Sayyam, says Rav Yossi, yes, in the same context as the closing of the other Mishnah, which is called the Resha. There made a difference between who told you that she's dead. Okay, and therefore I want to say like this. The Tanakhama went along and he didn't discuss about the issue. He said, Loshna Pi Aden, look, I don't care whether this guy married his sister-in-law because he had witnesses, and over there, Eshet Giso would be Mutara to her husband when the guy returns. Lo Shna Pi Beit Din. Or, I don't care. Did the Tanakhama say a word about that? No. Tanakhama said, in any and all cases, what's the halakha? Halakha is, his wife never becomes Asura to him. Says Rav Yossi, now wait a minute. Depends what the case is. There is a case where that same woman became Asura to her husband. That would have been if they married Alpi Besdin. If that's the case, then since she's Asura to her own husband, she created an Isser on his wife, who now looks like the sister of his wife. In the other case, where she got married, Alpi Aden, when she's allowed, Alibi Rabbi Shimon, to go back to her husband, there I agree with you. Koshei no posel. Brilliant. Mamish brilliant. It addresses the gaping hole that had been left in this sugya. Because up until this point, we've been constantly very much on edge to define what the situation was. We wanted to know what the situation is, the Gabi Yavama that gets married on the basis of 1-8. I mean, we went through pages of analyzing these issues, the difference between 1-8 and 2-8, right? All of a sudden, we come to our new mission, a guy gets married to his sister-in-law. Nobody even discusses it. What are we talking about? Comes along Rav Yossi and says, well, you should forget the sugya. There's a big difference between a case of someone who's marrying Alpi Edecha, with the Rishus of Besdin, where she becomes Asur Labala, and a case where the woman and the man in this case as well, we're relying on 2-8. We're over there. She does not become Asura to her husband. I agree with you in one of the cases where she doesn't become Asura on her husband because they relied on 2 witnesses. So then, in Achinami, his wife is not Asura to him. But in a case where we relied on 1 witness and we needed a Psak Besdin to be Matur, and over there now the guy shows up and so does his wife. Wow, what a mess. So since now we're looking at a case where we're viewing this as a marriage to Asura her on her husband, then we have to view his own wife also as Asura on him. That's my distinction. It's a brilliant analysis of Rav Ami. So Carmel Rav Yossi, look, Alpi Besdin, if we're talking about where they relied on 1A, they went to Besdin. So over there, he's posel al yedei acherim. He creates now an iser on his brother-in-law from ever marrying again his own wife, right? Nebak. So then posel al yedei atzmo. So then he creates problem for himself as well. But if it was Alpi Edim, where we had 2 witnesses, over there, eno posel al yedei acherim, there she's allowed to go back to her own husband. So Eno posel al yedei atzmo, so now she doesn't look like she's married to the second guy. And therefore, she goes back to the first one. Everybody sees, wow, look at that. Look, she went back to the first guy. Oh my God, what a terrible mess up. So they all understand. So why should he be usher on his wife? I mean, there's no isser on a wife just because the guy sleeps with the sister-in-law. So there's nothing to confuse anybody. So in that case, fine. In that case, he's mutter to go back to his own wife.
So on top of the darshan, we're trying to cover this case. We said earlier that
because of the appearances, it does cover it. But Minarabanan, if we're going to answer her, so Minarabanan on her husband, we're going to answer him, Minarabanan on his wife, because of what the appearances say. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka says, we don't have to go this far. The truth is that, look, the Mishnah begins with discussing a case where a woman gets married, Alpi Edecha. There was just a brief tangential mention of the difference between marriage Alpi Aden. Actually, it doesn't even say that. Marriage with Rosh Hashanah and marriage without Rosh Hashanah, which we understood means Alpi Aden. But basically, this parak is a parak that attempts to deal with the problem of marrying Rosh Hashanah on the basis of an Eidechar and its implications across the board. For marriage, for Yibum, all the cases that we spoke about, right? So I don't like this idea of that it's going on back to the Resha, meaning back to the last part of the first Mishnah. I made that difference between Alpi Besdin and Shlo Alpi Besdin. I like it. I like to keep things simple. Let me explain to you. Keeping it simple, let me explain to you what Rav Yossi is talking about. There is a case where a wife of a brother-in-law goes to Medina Sayyam, where she will be, creating problems for him, and a case where a wife of a brother-in-law goes to Medina Sayyam and will not be creating problems for him. Because what you're forgetting is another very important factor. What kind of wife was she? Was she a wife who had gotten kiddushin, or was she a wife who had gotten nisuin? So you're saying, what the heck's the difference? I mean, no matter what, she's an Eishes Isha. Aha, there's a very big difference. The big difference is this. If she had only had now a marriage to this other guy, or to him, I mean, that's also a question. How are they related? Through Erisin. People are always ready to say, oh, Erisin, there could have been a Tznai, right? Now, if there could have been a Tznai, then they may interpret the marriage not as a mistake, but as the result of a Tznai. That's the point. You're calling him your brother-in-law. You were married to your wife with Kedushin or married Benesun? I mean, we'd use the same word, but what Rabbi Yossi is saying is it depends on the case. One case is where the wife that went overseas, his brother-in-law was a brother-in-law through marriage, but not through a consummated marriage. He was a brother-in-law of a woman that he had given Kedushin to. So in a case where Arusato Vigiso goes overseas, the halakha will be one way. In a case where Nisuato, meaning Ishto Vigiso, go overseas, it's going to be another din. And I'll tell you how to look at it. The Tanakhama made no distinction. The Tanakhama simply said, look, whenever a woman to me was married, I don't care how I was married, goes overseas, it goes together with Giso, makes no difference. Lo Shnei Ishto V'Giso, Lo Shnei Arusato V'Giso. The din is, Eshet Giso is Asira, and Ishto is Sharia. Comes along Rav Yossi and brilliantly makes the following distinction, which teaches you how not to jump to conclusions, because you never know that you've handled all of the variables. Says Rav Yossi, again, you're missing a very important variable. Because in the case, Karolei Rav Yossi, listen, Ishto V'Giso, the case where he had a consummated marriage with a woman and therefore a full brother-in-law, in every sense of the word, to go overseas. Okay. What are people going to say when they come back? Tell me. What are people going to say? They're going to say, wow, he must have divorced his wife and that's why he married the sister-in-law? No, you can't marry a sister-in-law by giving a divorce to your wife. That's true. I wonder what must have happened. Wait a minute. Maybe there was a condition in their marriage. Nah. They already consummated the marriage. People don't make conditions on consummated marriage. Right? Once they sleep together, they figure, look, whatever, you know. It's done, it's done. We're a man and wife, and that's the way it's going to be. So, gosh, I wonder what happened. Oh, I know what happened. They must have figured that she was dead. And now she's come back. A terrible mistake happened. That's right. That's exactly what did happen. Oh, gee, so what's the din? The din is he can go back to his wife. Very good. Is there any mistake to be made? No mistake at all. There's no issues here. It's clear to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that this guy got married to a woman that the only possible way he could have gotten married to him was to the Rabbi Rush. There was a beautiful wedding. I mean, it was clearly everything was kosher, v'yosher. Must be that there was a terrible mistake it happened. Okay. But how about in the case where Arusato v'Giso go overseas? Oh, there people start thinking, gosh, how did he marry his wife's sister? He couldn't have given her a get, which was the case in the first Mishnah. We're over there. He could have given a get, and that's why she's marrying somebody else, which is why we need a get from the other guy, right? Because people will think maybe he sent a get. Over here, it wouldn't help him to send a get because he still can't marry his sister-in-law. Nope, that can't be the reason. Ah, I know the reason. He must have, because after all, they never consummated their marriage. The chuppah was scheduled for 3 months later. And then she went overseas. And now he went and married her. There's only one explanation. He had made a condition in the marriage that she's supposed to come back from overseas in a week. And boy, she hasn't shown up now in months. So the whole thing was annulled. That must be what happened. She was supposed to make a lot of money in India. Instead, she obviously hasn't made a dime. So he went and married the sister-in-law. Uh-huh. So then he was really married to that sister-in-law, betcha, betcha. And that means that he better give her a get, right? Because otherwise, if she is now going to be muteres, so people are going to say, well, how is she muteres? She went back to her husband without a get. I mean, some people are married, they don't need a get. It's basically a matter of moodiness. She doesn't need a get. So if she needs a get, she now becomes Asura, because now she looks like his real wife that he gave a get to, but now he's marrying the sister of the woman he gave a get to. He can't marry the sister of the woman he gave a get to. Ooh, this is a mess. Says Rabbi Yossi, okay, so you guys kept things simple, but in doing so, you left out an extremely important factor. Now, obviously, we have to take that into consideration. Therefore, I say, If your tongue says, Rav Yosef says like this, in the case where it was his full wife, his consummated wife, and his brother-in-law, it doesn't occur to anybody that people went ahead and been sleeping together for years, based on the fact that 10 years down the road, I expect you to have made enough money to buy me a home, and then if she doesn't have enough money, then for the past 10 years, they've been shacking up together and haven't been married. People don't do that kind of thing. So nobody, doesn't occur to anybody that this is basically a tznai situation. So over there, since he doesn't, over there, there is no reason for him to pasul al yedei acher in this case. Why would he pasul al yedei acher? Everybody understands that this must have been a disaster in which we had witnesses that came and told him that he's allowed to get married, correct? So in such a case, there would be no reason to pasul his brother-in-law the way we normally pasul. So what do you mean? But we always pasul even in a case where they're married. Of course we pasul in a case where you're normally married. But that's because people will say, hey, how come he married this woman? Must be that he was allowed to marry this woman because it was a get. Over here, a get wouldn't help anybody, would it? Because she still would have been the sister of his wife. So what good is a get? So nobody's going to think of that. So why in the world would there be any mistake? We have no mechanism to demand a get from the second guy in this case. The only mechanism of demanding a get from the second guy in the case of the mission was when they weren't related at all. Stam. She had gone out and married another guy. So over there, since people, they don't know the reason she married the other guy was because the witness had said that her husband died. But normally, when people see a woman married to another guy, and they see her first husband sitting across from her at a wedding somewhere, they figure, gee, you know, it's very nice that divorced people should be getting along so well. That's their immediate reaction. What, they're going to say, wow, this is incredible. They must have thought that she was dead, and he was dead, and who's going to think about such a crazy thing? So obviously, over there, we're going to be behind them to give a get, because otherwise people won't understand. How come she's now allowed to go back to this guy? Must be. Now, what are they going to say about this case? There's nothing to say. It couldn't have been a case of a tonight. Couldn't have been a case of a get. Why the heck would you need a get from the second guy? So therefore, in this case, there's no problem. She could actually go back then because she doesn't need a get. If she needs a get, then it looks like he's being mazir grushasai. Oh, we can't allow that. Fine. So everyone will know this is a mistake, a terrible mistake, and there won't be a problem. Okay. In the other case, however, says Rabbi Yosef, in the case of Arusato V'Giso, over there, people will think, oh, I understand what happened. Obviously, a get wouldn't have helped, but there must have been a tznai in the kedushin. Tznai havilei v'kedushin. Oh, now if there's a tznai in the kedushin, then that means that the second marriage was a real marriage. Okay, what are we going to do about that marriage? Well, he's going to have to give a get because people think that they're married. I mean, she can't just walk out and go marry somebody else. Okay, so he's going to give a get. The moment he gives the get, we just blew everything. Because if he gives a get, she can't go back to the first guy. So he passes her al yedei acherim. Once he passes her al yedei acherim, he's also going to pass her for himself, his own wife. Because now his own wife becomes also the sister of the woman that he gave a get to. That is brilliant. It's not just, it ain't fair. If it asks for him, I mean, should ask for him too. That's silly. It's absolutely brilliant analysis. The only way in which it would have asked for him was because he needs to give a get. But the same get that created the problem for his brother-in-law creates the problem for him. That's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. You can't ignore the question of whether it was Benisuin or whether it was Be'erusin. Makes a big difference. Isn't that nice? It's really, really beautiful analysis. Okay. So there, that's how we pass. So basically, we paskin that in cases where people could think that maybe there's a tznai, then people will think that there's a tznai. We're going to have to handle it by giving a get. That's what it appears that Shmuel is paskining like by saying those words. Wow, it's late. Maybe we should stop here then and continue tomorrow.